We do have a few people that are out. I know my wife is in Alabama, and I know Bob's in Florida again. And there's a few other people that are out this morning. Some of them are working, just doing different things, but you're here this morning. Amen? You're here this morning. So, good. I want to try to get you to a place today that you'll understand some things about some of the benefits that God has for us. And so we're going to be in Psalms 103 for a little bit, and we're going to share some time there this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 103. And as you turn there, I'm going to go ahead and pray. And we're going to ask God's Spirit to be upon this time that we have in the Word. Father, Lord, we again just ask, Lord, for your presence and your Spirit, Lord, to move in a way that only you can and the only way that we want. And the only way that can happen. Father, there are things that you can do that we cannot. I pray, Father, you just be with each person that is here today. Anyone here, Lord, that does not have salvation, may you speak these words through their heart. And those who need to come back to you, we pray the same. We just lift this time up to you, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. There are some benefits that we have that are our benefits that God has given to us. And there's going to be more than what I'm listing today. But to know, sometimes we don't really, this is why I think God's given us his word many times, to know what we have in the Lord. A lot of people just see what we have to, you know, we see the things of that we, the things that we struggle with. So we need to work on understanding, knowing there are benefits of serving the Lord. There are some benefits in serving the Lord. And today we're just going to talk a few of those today. But again, we're in Psalms 103 today, but the beginning of it, let me read a little bit here. Well, let me read this first part. It says, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. There's a part of us that we can sing. We sing these songs on Sundays, and we want to sing, and we want to praise the Lord with these songs. But there are some of us, and it's always, it happens in every place, there are some that we sing. We see, I don't know, Alex, are these, can we turn, no, you can't turn them down? Okay. That we sing a song and we just kind of sing the words. We just kind of sing the words. You may have a good voice, you may not have a good voice, you may have a mediocre voice. Regardless of how good you can sing or how horrible you think you are, sometimes we all just kind of sing the words. But it's when your relationship with God is growing. It's when you have a strong relationship with God and you're maturing with God. And you begin to, after you sing these songs, you begin to understand and know what these words mean, like it is well. You begin to know that you really can understand what it really means to be it is well in my soul. We may sing it through words, but if it's not coming from here, it's just words on a page. And so this first verse, really, he says, in all my innermost being, he says, all that I am, knowing I will praise the Lord. He says, my soul praises the Lord. All that I am praises the Lord. Everything that I'm a part of praises the Lord. Not just my lips and my voice, but everything that I am praises the Lord. And he's got some things he wants to praise about. And this is what we do when we open up in prayer. We may have an agenda when we pray to God. But when we start into that prayer, when the Holy Spirit is working in us, he'll pull the things out that we really need to talk about, not just the things we want to talk about. So we see a part here. He says, I want to praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Because we have this thing where we picked up salvation and got our baptism in. We started kind of going to church once in a while, or maybe faithfully at the beginning, or even faithfully, but we forget the reason why we were saved in the first place. We forget the benefits, so when we walk by lost people, we don't even care that if they're lost or not. Because we say, I got my ticket punched, and I'm going to heaven. That's on them, and that's between them and God. But we have a responsibility to do our part. But here he says, I don't want to forget the benefits that God has for me. One is, he says this, who forgives all your sins? All of our sins are forgiven. If you are in Christ, you seek that relationship with him. He forgives you of all your sins. Of all your sins. Now, a sin is an act against God. That's something that you do against God. Now, we're going to come into, there's a few other words we're going to use today, and I'm going to tell you what they mean, because we can kind of get We think it just means the same thing, but it's a little bit different. He says, so forgive you of all of your sins. And we're going to come back to the sins in a little bit. And heals all your diseases. And people will say, well, like I went to hospice last night and a friend of mine had passed away from cancer. It doesn't mean that he's going to heal all your diseases here. But when you step out of this world and you are a believer, you are healed. All the diseases, and there's nothing that can affect you physically when you pass out of this world and you are a believer, a child of God. All of your diseases and all your ailments, they're gone. God doesn't allow any sick into his kingdom. There is no sick in heaven. There is no people that are sick. No, there were people that were sick, as many of us, into this world, but we struggle understanding and believing that. But when we walk into, listen, when you pass from this world, no matter how you pass, people has passed, when they go into the presence of the Lord, there's none of that stuff here in the heaven. And he also redeems us from the life from the pit. Now, I don't think we quite understand that, but we are, as we were born into sin, we are all sinners, and we see this, that there is the pit, this place, that it is hell. There is a place that where a person dies, well, a person lives, and we are all heading in that direction until we come to the acknowledgement that we today are lost and we need Christ in our life. We are all headed to hell unless you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. And there is only one way to heaven. I don't care who says there's many different ways. There's only one way. And what was done on the cross and was done for each and every person. You just have a choice you need to make. And so here it is. He says, he redeems us. He pulls us from that direction of going to the pit. Now, if you don't we need to grasp that and understand that if your life is different today, it's different because of Christ. It is different because you've allowed God to be a part of your life and he's put his hand on you and he's doing things in your life that you never could do on your own. Because if you could have done them, you would have done them already. But we don't have that kind of power. We don't have that. So he redeems us. He redeems our life from the pit. And he crowns you with love and compassion. This is love and compassion is bigger than what your parents can give to you, what your family can give to you. Many people will love you with conditions. They'll love you and they'll put out conditions, but God's love is unconditional. Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He loved the world, but the world does not love him back. But when we begin to understand and know that he crowns us with love and compassion. Do you know that when you become a believer that you ought to be able to love more now than you were when you were not a believer? And that you ought to be able to experience a love that is bigger and more genuine and more pure than ours is? And we begin to understand that because God begins to show us love and compassion. Compassion. We didn't deserve compassion, but God gives us compassion. We didn't deserve the compassion. Some of us have a hard time showing compassion. Some of us have a different definition of what compassion is. But God's compassion is huge. We were undeserving of it, but yet he still gives us. He says, who satisfies your desires with good things? God gives us more good things than what we realize. The good things that come in our lives are from God. God sees those things that we need. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles, and the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. But he says, he made known those ways to Moses and his deeds of the people of Israel. But here he goes, he says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. God is compassionate. He is compassionate and he is gracious. He is very giving. He's very giving. He's very giving. Do you know that when he flooded the world, he could have just wiped everyone out and just been done? The Bible says that, it says, God grieved that he had made man. He grieved that he had made man. And we see that God grieved about that. But his love is so strong and his compassion is so strong that he saw a man and the family of Noah. And he's so gracious to us. You ever thought about some of the sins that you committed even as a Christian and God still is working with you? God still works with you? God's still working with you and the mess that you're trying to get out of? He's very patient. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. And he's abounding in love. He's slow to anger, but he's abounding in love. There's love that's just huge from him. But he says he will not always accuse. nor will he harbor his anger forever. God knows when to use, when to accuse. He knows when to do that. He knows that even though he's slow to anger, there's a time that he does get angry. And I wonder sometimes, has he gotten angry with me? He says he does not treat us as our sins deserve. And this is where we're going to begin to work this stuff out, because our sins can become a stumbling block. Even when we ask for forgiveness, they become a stumbling block to us. Does he not treat us as our sins deserve? Our sins are the acts that we do against God. We are not getting what we deserve. And I don't think we grasp that. The sins that we, you know, when you talk bad about somebody, listen, God sees that as gossip. And when you do that, God says that is he does not like gossip. And but yet he still puts up with us, and he has a plan for us, and he keeps working with us, and he's willing to chip at us in our life, and we begin to continue to walk into the direction he wants us to. But we have shortcomings from time to time. But he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He gives us a way to work through those and just ask. And our sins are forgiven. But we got to ask it, not just with our mouth, but we got to ask it from our heart. This is a heart thing. This is a spirit thing. You know, you don't have all the answers. And I don't have all the answers. We're not as smart as we think we are. I say that a lot because it is true. We're not as smart as we think we are. I'm not as smart as I may think I am. But you know what that does? That should draw us more to the Word of God and understanding that when we sin, that we need to seek that forgiveness, and we just ask. The Bible says that we can ask and he forgives us of our sins. But he says he does not treat us as our sins deserve. God is amazing. Because every one of us, the Bible says every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and fallen short. So we've all fallen short of what God expects out of a human being. And we're all guilty, and we stand guilty as charged with our sins. But thank God that Jesus Christ, because God so loved the world, he gave his Son for us. That we might begin a new life, as we talked about last week, a new creation in Christ. But the issue is we have to be that new creation. We have to start living that new creation. But you cannot be that new creation when you keep picking up that old sin that you committed and you keep bringing it up in front of yourself. God is trying to pull you into a future that is amazing. And you may not understand it, but it takes faith to get there. Satan is always trying to pull you to the past, the stuff you remember, to keep your head down, to keep you unfocused, to keep you depressed, to keep you unencouraged, to keep you in sadness, to keep you in personal agony and personal pain. And God's saying, listen, I've taken care of that. But he doesn't treat us as our sins desire or repay us according to our iniquities. And you know what iniquities is? It's different than sin. That's why I said iniquities. Iniquity is the sin that you do and you don't repent from it. Sin is the acts that you do against God. Iniquities is the sins that you don't repent. You don't repent from. You've not repented from yet. Transgressions is something that you stood there, you knew it was wrong, and you did it anyway. You planned to do it. You're going to do it anyway. That's a transgression. You trespassed. So sin, transgression, and iniquities are all pulled in the same thing. You'll see some verses that even says, Lord, forgive me of my sin and my transgressions that I've committed and all my iniquities. We've all have sinned. We've all trespassed. We've all had transgressions, and we've all had iniquities. We've all committed sins of acts. Some we didn't even know we did, but we committed them. And God says, it's a sin. You're not special because you didn't know it was wrong. When you sin, you sin. But when we commit a transgression, we step over the line, and we were sitting there looking at it going, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's a transgression. I know we've all done that. And the iniquities is when we just keep it and we don't repent from it. We just keep on. And we've not repented from it. So you may have today, you may have some iniquities in your life that you've not, or you've kept it there because you don't want to deal with it. And that's exactly what God wants to deal with, is some of those iniquities today. And maybe the sin, he says, or repay us according to our iniquities. God is a very detailed God. Look at the creation that he made. It's very detailed. Listen, we have committed sin. We have committed transgressions, and we have committed iniquities. And if you walk around cocky saying, hey, I'm this, I'm that, and I've even heard people say, well, I don't sin no more, and I'm good to go. And I'm like, who do you think that you are? When you do that, then basically what you're doing, you're feeling like you're trying to put yourself as an equal to God, and you can't do that. We all sin. We've all made transgressions. We've all trespassed over, knowing that we should not. It's like the sign is there, no trespassing. Nobody's looking. I'm going to go in, and God sees everything. And those iniquities, man, this is a sin we have not repented from. And like I say before, some of us try to get by real quick by going through the Burger King drive-thru and saying, Lord Jesus, what's your order? Lord, forgive me all my sins today. Amen. And you think you got it taken care of. God wants to deal with those things, sometimes even individually, because those is what's tearing your life apart. That's what's tearing. Listen, if you ever been through a relationship that's been torn apart, and a relationship with somebody or your family or whatever, that's hurtful. I'm telling you, when you are starting to do those things and you try to think you can do those things with sin, all that, and you do that with you and your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, listen, you're hurting your relationship with God. And some of us have a damaged relationship with God, and we're not working on what we need to work on. God's doing everything that He can and what He will do to get you to that place where you begin. But you've got to acknowledge that you've got sin in your life, or you've got iniquities that you've not taken care of, and you've got trespasses, and you're just a mess, and you need to get it right. And the only way to get it right is through Jesus Christ, and that is it. What He did on the cross took care of all that, but you've got to acknowledge that you've done those things. He's for as high as the heavens are. Now we struggle with not letting ourselves forgive ourselves, or forgiving that we don't believe that maybe God did, He can forgive me of these things, but He can't forgive me of those things. I want to tell you, when you work with God, there's nothing that God cannot do. And you must believe in the words of God. If you're going to believe in the Bible, work it out. Believe the whole thing. He says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, and that's pretty high, because we've sent astronauts out and they still can't get to heaven. It's pretty high. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. Now, for those who fear Him, what does that mean? Those who fear Him. Listen, if you love God genuinely, you will have a good fear of the Lord. There is a good fear of the Lord. Some people say, we're not to fear God. Listen, there's a part there that we are supposed to fear. The beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. The knowledge is the beginning, wisdom is to fear the Lord. Then we need to have, there needs to be a good fear. He's God. We need to remember, He is on the throne. He is our Creator. He's created us, and we have rebelled against Him, but He says He gives us a way out of the sins and the iniquities and the transgressions. And He says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. Let's just understand this. God loves you. You know that, right? Today. God loves you. You need to know this. God loves you. More than your parents can love you, more than your family can love you, more than your spouse. There is a pure, genuine, unadulterated, unconditional love that only God has. And that can be overwhelming when you really start to feel it. It's awesome. You know, even on your worst days when you get up, God's there. I love you. When you're in the hospital and you're sick, He says, I love you. Even on your most ugly days, almost on your ugliest days when you're doing things you know you shouldn't be doing, and even through sin, He still loves you. In your iniquities, He still loves you. In your transgressions, He still loves you. He loves you. As a child of God, you're a believer in God. He loves you. Lost people, He loves them, but He knows they need to receive His Son to be put into the family of God. You cannot be part of the family of God until you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Redeemer and Savior. Because without Christ, you are lost and you are unredeemed. So we understand that God loves us. Amen? All right. So He also says, as far as the east is from the west, now that's pretty far, right? As far as the east is, as far as the west is, I think I got that backwards. But this is one of the hard ones. As far as the east is from the west, so far as it removed our transgressions from us. When we ask Christ to forgive us of our sins, We ask Christ to forgive us of our unrighteousness. We ask Christ to forgive us of our transgressions and our iniquities. Basically, Lord, here I am, I'm a mess. These are the things I did. Lord, I need to confess. I've done these things. And we're genuine in our heart and our spirit, and we ask Him to forgive us of those things. The Bible says He will cast them as far as the east is from the west. He'll remember them no more. But we want to keep bringing it up. And if you keep bringing it up, you will not move as far as He wants you to move. You will not get to where you will not have a freedom that He wants you to have. That's the whole thing. When you have sin in your life, you are not free. You're a slave to that sin. It weighs you down. It's like having chains on your feet. It weighs you down. You can't get to where God wants. You cannot get to what you need to do in life. You cannot do it. It weighs you down. There's a wedge between you and God. There's a wedge, and it hurts the relationship. And what happens is we say, Lord, here it is. Forgive me. And He unlocks the chains on our feet of these chains. And what we do is we want to bring it back. We want to put them back on. When we keep thinking, well, this is what I'm going to keep putting them back on, and then we say, I want to be free, but we put them back on, and He just set us free. You got to believe that when He forgives, He forgives. And if you bring it back up, you're chaining yourself back up. You're chaining yourself back up. I know some people that had some birds, and they want to set their birds free, but they've been in captivity from these cages for a long time. They set them free. They opened up the cages, but they wouldn't fly out. And if the ones that got out, they didn't go far. They went right back into the cage. They never really knew what freedom was. They was in the cages so long. They'd fly out, come right back in the cage, because that's what they knew. They didn't understand that they were being free. The communication wasn't working. They wouldn't go. I think we're like that. Some of us are like that. We feel like that the sin is more powerful. The sin is so powerful that even though God says He will forgive you and He'll cast as far as the east is from the west, and so far He has removed, He'll remove it all. He'll remove it all. And we won't let Him do His stuff. That's the miracle that God has for us, and we're shutting the miracles that God has down for us. He says, as far as His he says, so far He's removed out our transgressions from us. As a father, He has compassion on His children. He wants to be your father. He wants to be the dad that maybe that you had a great dad, or maybe you didn't have one, but He's going to be better than your best dad. He wants to be that. That's His desire, that you'll fall in love with Him. That you'll fall in love, that you'll be a part of His family. That is His desire, that you'll love Him. He knows, here's the thing, God is not getting the best part of the deal, I don't think. He's going to love us unconditionally, but we, many of us, will love Him with a condition. We'll serve Him when we want, but we won't serve Him when sometimes He desires it, or when we need to. We are the ones getting the best deal out of it. Yet we're still putting conditions on it. Doesn't make sense. We're still putting conditions on His forgiveness. We're putting conditions on His love. We're putting conditions on how He wants to be a father. And we, even as believers, keep pushing Him away because He gets too close to us. Because when He gets close to us, we feel awkward because the holiness of Him is so awesome and is so powerful that we have a hard time taking it because of the things we've not really worked out in our lives with Him. You can't get it straight without Him. You need Him. We need Him. And He says, I have compassion. He has compassion on His children. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him, for He knows how we are formed. He knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows where you have a tendency to fall. He knows your thoughts and your mind. He knows your hurts and your pain. He knows your hearts. He knows everything in your life. He knows every second, even though you have, it's amazing. We have a memory, right? But we've forgotten a lot of things. God remembers everything. He knows. And He knows that you are forgiven. And I think sometimes he said, why do you keep bringing that up? I thought we worked that out. You are the one. And God said, like, I have told you my word. I forgive you. Why are you bringing it up? Why are you bringing all of that up? You are not going to get where you need to. I have a special place for you. I have some things for you. I have some amazing blessings for you. But until you release that junk, and I unlock the chains for you, and you put it, keep putting them back on. You got to let God be God. Know that He formed you. If He formed you, He knows how to. He remembers that we are dust. He knows what we're made. He knows. From the dust we came, Bible says, the dust we shall return. But praise God of Jesus Christ that when we die, we go back to the dust. That's not who we are, because this is not where we have a bodily form, but our spirit belongs to God. And the Bible says we'll be like the angels. So there is a life after this world. And here it is. He knows in this flesh that we are, that He created us and that we are from dust. And He says, as a man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. And then the wind blows it over and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. Basically, you're here today. And when you pass away 100 years from now, if the Lord has not, you'll be forgotten. You'll be forgotten. The people that started this church, they're no longer here. The preaching, all has all been forgotten in the world. But not with God. You see, God's an eternal God. He has been, and He always will be. He is an eternal God. He is working right now with this generation in time and space where we are at right now. We are responsible for how we live our lives, but we are like flowers. We'll bloom. And then we'll fade away and we'll just go right into the air and we'll be no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him. He's telling you, I love, the Lord is, the love of God is with you and His righteousness with the children's children. He says, listen, you follow in my ways, I'm going to work it through your children's children. And people go, well, each kid has their own choices. Yes, they do, but I remember this through God's word. But I'm going to keep my promise that I made to David. Even though you are not living right. I'm going to keep my promises I made to Abraham. Even though you're not. God, He says this. That your children's children. And so we need to remember. Listen. My lifestyle right now is affecting the heritage. And the legacy. And the of the rest of my family. They'll still make choices. But what I'm doing today for my life, for me, is not just affecting me. But it's affecting my family and my future generation in my family. So my lineage, it's affected that there is Christian in this lineage, in this bloodline. Do you understand how important it is that you live your life right for God right now? So that it will affect the lineage of your family? Now, let me stop here. Now, I don't mean to tread on waters, but I'm telling you, we've got enough sexual offenses in all of our families. Some of us have been molested. Some of us grew up with an alcoholic father that was just abusive. Some of us grew up, mother giving herself to different men and all that just to make the ends meet. Some of us grew up and an uncle did something he shouldn't have done, and an aunt did something she shouldn't have done to you. And that stuff, you know what it is? When I talk to people, you know what? They did it to the dad, they did it to their family, they did it to their family, and it just keeps going. It keeps going until somebody has got to change, because in that bloodline, listen, my family had alcoholics galore. This is why I worry about my sons if they start, because when they can't, my family is real quick. You like something, they stay with it and they indulge in it. But here it is. Now we're trying to do this thing where we indulge in the things of Christ. The things of God. The things that are right before God. So we can change that lineage, because I know what my family was about in the past. Did it make me not love them? I love them. But for some families, it is incest. And some of it's more than one thing. It's three or four things. Some of it's witchcraft. The only thing that can pierce and break that chain of sinful bondage in the family line is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Satan didn't want Jesus to die on the cross, because He was sinless, because he knew what would happen, and even more than what he thought would happen, happened. Salvation was birthed by the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation was birthed, and it was not opportunity for the world, but now it became opportunity that the sins, the transgressions, and the iniquities that we commit can now be forgiven, but only through the blood of Jesus Christ, receiving Christ, because the Bible says He'll wash us as white as snow. But only God could clean us up like that through His Son, Jesus Christ. Some just think about your lineage and your family bloodline. You have an opportunity to change, not what was in the past. Satan loves to take you to the past, allow the past to work through the present into the future. God is always about the future. He deals with the past, but He's ready to work on the present and the future. So whatever's been in your bloodline in the past, God will, you can, you know, I've asked for forgiveness for the sins of my bloodline before. And I said, Lord, start with this family, start with what we have now. Start with what we have now. Now, there are more Christians in our family probably now than what there has been in the last couple of generations. I'm guessing that's probably true. And I'm expecting the next generation to be stronger than the generation that we have right now. And that's what I'm praying, that the next generation, that their children's children's children, even though I won't be around, that I can go in heaven, I'll know that, thank God for Jesus Christ, that there were some people in our family that began to follow in Christ, not lay out, but to love the Lord and understand that He loves me with a compassion that I can't quite understand, but I'm going to take that. I'm going to run with it, and I was forgiven of my sins, and I see God working through my family so my bloodline just starts getting corrected and starts getting straight. It'll never be perfect until we get to heaven, but I'm telling you what, we need more family with a godly bloodline than what we have right now. But we've all got sin. We've all got transgressions and we've all got iniquities. The issue is this: are you still in it and not dealing with it? Or you dealt with it and you gave it to Christ and you say, listen, what's behind me is behind me because I believe in the Word of God. Or I turn around and say, you know what? I love what God is. I have a relationship with Him, but I'm always being haunted by my past and those kinds. I'm going to tell you something. You need to believe in the Word of God. When He says He forgives, He forgives. He holds nothing on you. He will not bring that back up to you. He will not bring it back up to you. The only time He'll bring it back up to you is He'll say, you remember what happened last time. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. You remember what happened last time. He'll bring it up in those ways, but He will not come up and flaunt it in front of you and say, look at you, this is what you were, this is what you were. No, when He forgives, because He's more interested in recreating you in a future than going back to the past. Satan loves the past. That's where you were, should have been at your worst. He loves the worst of things. He loves the ugliness of things. He loves the sinful of things. God loves the forgiveness of things, the love of things, His compassion and His mercy. Because we need to remember, with those who keep His covenant, He says, and remember to obey His precepts. But the Lord has established His throne in heaven. Remember this, the Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. His kingdom rules over all. So regardless whether you're a believer or not, there is a king, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is a throne that is in heaven, and it rules over all, whether you believe in Him or not. The issue is, will you, when you meet with God, because every man will stand account and give an account for their life for God, to God about what they have done, all their things in life. Listen, if you are a believer in Christ, the Bible says your sins are forgiven and you will stand before God. You will stand there and you will stand there, but you will be a believer and a child of God and you will not be condemned because Jesus forgave you of your sins. You took it. But if you stand there and you have your sins and you don't have the Redeemer next to you, you don't have the Savior, you don't have that salvation peace, you will stand with all your iniquities, all your sin, and all your transgressions, and He will say, guilty, depart from me, I never knew you, and they will drag that person to pain and sorrow, out of the presence of God, and to eternal condemnation and damnation. Separated from God with no hope. The darkest of places, hollow, pain, suffering, gnashing of teeth, and the most gruesome part of it is there is no hope. But praise God that He loves us so much that He gave Jesus Christ, that we have a hope, and that hope is only in Jesus. So you need to grab on to Jesus Christ, grab on to the hope, and that hope will not let you down. It will set you free. It will set you free from your past. It will set you free to do what God has for you. He'll set you free in the moment where you have a peace that you've never felt before. And He will set you free in the future now that you're not living life on your own. You're living it with Him. And His blessedness and His righteousness is going to be amazing. And you're going to have a life that you never thought you'd ever have. And even when you get sick and you get some moments in life where things are pretty tough and pretty hard, I'm going to tell you there's going to be something inside you that says, don't quit. Keep on hanging in there. And it's going to be not you. It's not going to be your family, even though they're going to sit there and be cheerleaders beside you. It's going to be somebody that when everybody else leaves, you may be in that room, you may be in that car, but I want to tell you there's one that I know that he said he'll never leave you, never forsake you, and that is God. He'll never leave you. He's always going to be with you. Once you grab a hold of God, once you grab a hold of Jesus Christ, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll walk with you through the valleys. He'll walk with you through the mountains. He'll walk with you through the lost world. He'll walk with you through everything, but you got to let him be Lord of your life. You've got to let him be Jesus. You've got to let him forgive you when you ask him to forgive you. You've got to know this. I'm not what I used to be. I'm a new creation in Christ. He says, praise the Lord, you as angels. Listen, he says, angels, you need to praise the Lord. You've seen him, but you praise the Lord, you mighty ones who do his bidding. You that serve him, you need to keep praising the Lord because you understand it. You Christians, you that are strong and mature, you need to be praising him because God needs to be praised. He wants to be praised. Listen, we ought to praise him because he's done so much for us, more than we can ever imagine. He's got a future for us. Last week we talked about the inheritance that he has for us. God is amazing. He's so close to you. Just ask, just feel him. Know that he's there. He says, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. If you're doing his will, he's calling you to praise him out. Praise him. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Everything ought to shout out a praise. But there'll be those, the Bible says there'll be those who'll say, God, as they stand before God in their judgment, I went to church. I worked at the soup kitchen. I gave money to the church. And he'll say, depart from me. Take him away. Take her away. I never knew them. You see, it's not the acts that you do for everyone. It's who's doing them through you. People can do good things. Evil, sinful people. People that don't know Christ can do good things. Good things doesn't get a person into heaven. Good things doesn't give you a relationship with God. You cannot buy, we try to bypass, the world tries to bypass Jesus in every way. But he was a good man. But he was a good woman. This is what they did. This is what she did. This is where they went. They were there. They were faithful doing this. They were faithful doing that. But if you aren't faithful to knowing that you need a Savior, that you need your sins forgiven, Jesus is the only way. He said it straight. He said it straight. He says, praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, he says. As it begins, he says, oh my soul. Oh my soul. I don't know what Ashley sings most of the time. I didn't know she was going to sing It Is Well With My Soul. It's kind of funny how we started off this morning or hearing this message. The first part says, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And he ends with, praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'm asking you today, is it well in your soul? If it's not, I'm telling you, God is trying to pull you to himself because you're the one that's going to lose out. He's not going to lose out even though he loves you so much. He's got a lot of his family, but he wants more. This is why he's waiting. There's a time that he'll come in the second returning, but I'm telling you, he's trying to pull you in because he knows what's out there. He knows what the pit is. He's trying to pull you in and save you from it. He's done everything that he possibly can do, but there's a part that you must do. You must accept it. You must accept what God has for you. The plan of salvation is simple. You admit that you are a sinner, that you've sinned, you've transgressed, you've committed iniquities, you're still in iniquities and all that. You may not understand all that, but you know that you've done bad things in your life. Well, they're your bad things. And you're chained up by those bad things. But you come to the understanding, acknowledgement that there is, I need to get rid of those things. And God, you feel something in your life that God's pulling you for the first time, or maybe he's been doing it for a while and he's pulling you toward him. And those sins are coming with you because that's who you are. That's what you've done. And you get in front of him. And we know this, that we need to confess that we've been a sinner. But we understand and believe that we believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe I don't understand everything, but I believe that he's real. And I need God. I need you in my heart today. I need you to forgive me of all my sins. And you begin that relationship. And you open the door. The Bible says he stands at the door and knocks. But you got to open it. And he says, I'll come in. Maybe you're a Christian today. And you tried to deal with your sins. And you tried to deal with your transgressions. But there's some iniquity in your life. and you're not dealt with those things, and that's that thing where you just you've not repented from it. You say, Lord, forgive me of this, and He forgives you of it, and you do it again tomorrow. And the Bible says we forgive 70 times 7. Yes, but there's a part there where it says the iniquities. Iniquities is when you have not repented. You've asked for forgiveness, but you've not repented, which means turn away from that sin. That's what Jesus told the adulterous woman. Go away and sin no more. Your sin is forgiven, but go away and sin no more. Don't do that same thing. That's a repentance. You turn away, and she turned away and walked away from Him, and she was turning away a new person in Christ. Forgiveness and changed her lifestyle. And she went out and she began to testify of the man she just met. And they said, we no longer believe just her. Now we listen to Him and we believe Him. Not because of just her testimony now, but because we've heard from Him. If you don't have Christ in your life today, the Bible says you're lost. You're lost. You're lost. If you're a Christian today and you're living in that sin and you're going back and you've not done, you can be like, you're like the prodigal son. You still got that name, still part of the family, but you're not living right. And the blessings are not going to be right. You're going to be feeling it, the pain and the weight of it. But it also says for those who are doing God's will and things are working good and you're trying to do your best and you've taken that forgiveness, you've accepted, you've got a strong relationship with God. That doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're pretty much moving forward. You're doing great. Bible says you need to praise the Lord for what God's done for you. Everybody's got something to do and everybody has a conversation that we need to have with God. And if you don't let go of old bitterness and old anger and old things, listen, that ends up being iniquity. You just keep bringing up, you keep bringing it up all the time. We got to stop. Let God be God in your life. Let Him make some decisions in your life. Let Him be a part of it. So this is where we have an opportunity to obey whatever the Holy Spirit has for us. And what might be that for you? Oh, it is well with my soul. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, it is not well with my soul. Have mercy on me today. Let me feel your compassion and your unconditional love. Let's go ahead and stand. I want to give you an opportunity this morning.